Chrisley Watt.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
This is it, baby.
6 minutes after the hour 12. As we are high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDie.com. And Juliette Huddy's in the house today with just one day left.
This is a big day for you, Curtis. Now, how are you feeling health-wise, scale from 1 to 10? I mean, every time we ask you how you're doing, you always say, I've had better days. But this is a good day for you because you know that the end of this pain hopefully is in sight.
Oh, it could. It's not the worst it's ever been, but it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. In fact, you witnessed while we were doing our show prep as I was carving up my last oxycodone to try to get me through the rest of the day.
The only show that people actually talk about their oxycodone intake.
Right, with the hillbilly heroin, as I try to get through the incredible number of pains that just start sort of pulsating through my body on a regular basis as a result of what is now full-blown Crohn's disease, but for the last 2 years has actually erupted from colitis and ileitis into what puts me under the knife tomorrow. And in fact, if you go to the Curtis Sliwa page at WABC, the Facebook page, you will see a posting in which the surgeons who are going to take out half of my stomach tomorrow, it's a gargantuan task. There's a lot of ulcerated intestines that have to be removed.
It's a mess in there.
Hey, a total mess.
It's chaos.
And mostly of it as a result of the gunshots that I suffered in my lower extremities back in the summer of 1992, courtesy of the Gottis and Gambinos.
You mean the shooting that some people raise questions about as to whether or not there was truth to it?
Well, initially they did, but there's a guy
named... Who were some of those people that did that?
Michael Iannotti, who is now in Lompoc in a federal detention facility in California, who was in the Italian-American Civil Rights Division. He got 20 years for shooting me on the orders of John Gotti Sr. to John Gotti Jr.
And he admitted it.
No. Iannotti didn't admit it.
Oh.
But D'Angelo, who was the driver, who was his wheelman,
yes,
became a cooperating witness. He did a few years as a result of the kidnap of myself and the shooting. But I think he's got a pizza parlor now somewhere out in Staten Island. He'll never see me there, that's for sure, unless I show up with a pail of gasoline and a match after business hours. And then, of course, there's John Gotti Sr. We know he died, went straight to hell without an asbestos suit. I love it because he died of throat cancer, a great torturous death in Springfield, Missouri, at the federal hospital facility for inmates.
Should I be encouraging you to speak positively now because this, you know, this is such an important day?
No. And then, maybe, of course, there's John Gotti Jr., who's out in his Ponderosa in Oyster Bay Cove, living a great life, collecting rent, basically VIGs, on properties that his dad had stolen that he gave to him upon his death. And so he's living a great life, having escaped going to jail for kidnapping and attempting to kill me back in 1992 because of the statute of limitations. They didn't bag him and tag him within 5 years of the actual crime committed. But the knife that the surgeons want to use is like one of the biggest knives I've ever seen. You got to go to the Curtis Sliwa Facebook page at WABC and weigh in on this. They're claiming they could get out more of the intestines at a faster rate if they use this kind of scalpel than if they use a normal smaller scalpel. And I've given them the go-ahead.
Now, we are going to post this and wait till you see it because it is quite the weapon. Interestingly, you got it from the co-star of your documentary Vigilante that just came out.
Yes,
recently.
Don Chin.
He sent this to you.
Yeah, and he sent it specifically because he felt this could speed up the process of the removal of the ulcerated intestines. The doctors actually like it. Remember, they're going to take out half my stomach. I'm going to have a colostomy bag again, which I had to wear for 2 years after being shot, so I know how to operate that.
So here in the studio, you'll have a colostomy bag and another...
Well, it'll be attached to me.
Right. Well, yeah.
And obviously, if I want to clear out... If I want to clear out the studio, all I got to do is burp it and watch everybody go running downstairs. The whole building will be evacuated from the noxious smells. And I'll have a morphine pump to deal with all the pain to replace the oxycodone, the hillbilly heroin.
So it's just going to be one big party in here when you get back, sounds like.
Don't know about that. We'll see. 1 week I'll be out in hospital. Best case scenario, a month or more if there are complications, and we don't know at this point. But tomorrow, this program will be without yours truly, Curtis Sliwa.
Well, we are definitely praying for you and crossing our fingers that everything goes well. That those pesky Gotties stay away from your room. Let's not talk about where you're going, which hospital, although you've actually talked about it nonstop on air. But anyway, we genuinely love you, and we are sure that you're going to get through this just fine.
Well,
and there's actually
you.
A story
thank
a little bit later on. We're going to close the show out with a story that I think gives lots of hope and inspiration to your fans. About the surgery that you're about to go
into. Well, yeah, and remember, there are a lot of people out there who suffer from Crohn's disease, colitis, and ileitis. They suffer silently. They live off of painkillers, and they don't think there's a potential remedy for their dilemma. But there is, and I think maybe I have sort of piloted away after 2 years of going through exactly what they've gone through, which is like a Dante's Inferno in your stomach. But anyway, speaking of Dante's Inferno, why couldn't Akayed Ula... the latest bomber boy, in this instance, he is the Bangladeshi bomber boy, Bengali dog, that's what he is, who decided to strap himself up with that pipe that he procured while working at his relative's work site as an electrician.
Yeah, right up here on like 39th and 8th Ave.
That's right.
We could have walked right by him and never knew.
Right, a licensed electrician, so he's working at the job site there, and he looks at this pipe and he goes, wow, this would be the perfect pipe for me to make a pipe bomb to strap to myself with tie rods and Velcro so that I can create my own suicide vest, pull the ripcord, and then blast myself off onto the Paradise Express of Allah.
Yeah.
And then end up having sex with 72 vessel virgins.
Well, that was probably on the list, too. Yeah, definitely. But it was detonated supposedly by a pulse from a broken Christmas bulb. Powered by a 9-volt battery. That was the intention. Now, you know, yesterday I remember I was listening to lots of different radio stations, and I loved our coverage, of course, the best. But they were talking about how it went off mistakenly at a certain place. Apparently, that's not the case. He's been interrogated, and he was telling his interrogators that, oh, no, he saw a Christmas poster. And that was the impetus for him to decide that's the time that he wants to blow the area to smithereens, although he just basically kind of blew his, you know, part of his skin to smithereens and not much else. Although one person, I think, is temporarily deaf, which is nothing to sneeze at. But God, I mean, imagine what could have happened, of course.
And let me tell you something. Here's a guy who comes from Bangladesh in Dhaka in 2011 on a family immigrant visa. And he's lived in Brooklyn ever since, in the Flatland section, as he's rotated from his relative family to relative family. He's known as having an attitude, always being somber, always having a sort of smug look. And most importantly, having attended the mosque right there in Kensington in Brooklyn. But it is ironic that his brother, who has not been bagged and tagged in this suicide bombing, actually went to the mosque on Park Avenue in Jersey City that Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, you remember, the blind-eyed, Santa Claus hat-wearing cleric of hate, the mastermind of the first World Trade Center blast in 1993, preached at, in which he would regularly talk about how there needs to be death to the big Satan, the United States, and death to the little Satan, Israel. And I'd like to find out, now wait a second, why? If his brother was living in Brooklyn in the Kensington Flatland section, was he going all the way over to Park Avenue?
Well, you have your theory about the whole Jersey thing, the Jersey connection.
What is becoming shrine to Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, the guy who started all of this nonsense years ago and actually is the mentor, one of the founding members of the Muslim Brotherhood that has caused so much chaos in different parts of the world. So immediately I would ask that particular question. But anyway, let's open up our phone lines on Bangladesh bomber boy and the fact that his family was all upset. Not upset at their son. Upset at the way the feds and the local police bum-rushed them by sending in a SWAT team kicking in doors and tossing their rooms for all kinds of information, seizing computers, seizing technology. So immediately they had their liar for hire, their lawyer out there protesting the way this this raid, or as they said, an invasion of their home was conducted.
Well, despite their ridiculous protestations, a representative from the community, the Bangladesh Muslim Center in Kensington, said, look, this is not who we are. The Kensington community out there where he had lived at one point in time, it's people who work hard. They're just here to provide for their family. And, you know, says he didn't know this guy, but he said, look, this is not who we are. And so please don't condemn the Bangladeshi community.
No, no, we won't call you Bengali dogs. Only this guy. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. You don't want to get the Bangladeshis upset because most of your traffic control agents, most of your meter maids now come from Bangladesh.
Is that right?
Them out there. Oh, yeah. And naturally, this is the time of year where they're going to hit you because of the quotas on them. Block the box.
So you better keep your mouth shut, Curtis. Really quick, though, let's throw out the names of the cops, the Port Authority guys. Anthony Manfredini, 28 years old. Jack Collins, 45 years old. Sean Gallagher, 26 years old. And Drew Preston, 36 years old. You know, these are the guys, like all of our first responders, who ran towards the problem while everybody is, of course, evacuating. You know, and obviously with the attacks that we've seen in other areas around the world, you're always worried about that secondary device going off, you know, and these guys are, I'm sure, thinking about that as they're running towards this man who's just blown himself up.
You mentioned the Port Authority cops. You didn't mention the maintenance guy.
Oh, yeah.
In the MTA.
Sean.
Who did not run away, but continued to pick up the debris after the suicide Bangladeshi bomber boy had tried to put himself on the Allah Express. And he did not run.
Right.
He continued to pick up the debris with his pooper scooper.
Sean Monroe.
Yeah. All right. Little shout out to an MTA worker who actually works. That's an amazing thing. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's quickly go to Danny, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Danny.
Curtis, first of all, I want to wish you best of luck tomorrow. Since we first crossed paths on 42nd Street in 1986, We've crossed swords on the radio, but I wish you all the best tomorrow.
Well, thank you, Daddy.
As far as the weapon you're holding in your hand on the Facebook, having removed several of those from drug dealers, I can tell you that that's not going anywhere near a surgical ward. My son is an assistant in the OR. I showed him the picture. He said, that's a folding knife. That is not going anywhere near Curtis's intestines.
But Danny,
well, you've
to be
never
honest,
seen Curtis's intestines.
To be honest, Danny, they have to take out so much. This would help them extricate a lot of the ulcerated intestines at a much faster and rapid rate than if they just use their normal scalpel.
Well, anyway, best of luck. Getting on to the issue at hand, I'm glad we can talk about something other than Alabama. But you did mention DACA. This is not a DACA thing. This is another insane thing.
No. I meant DACA, the capital of Bangladesh.
Okay,
they lived outside of DACA.
I apologize.
No problem.
This goes to another thing that Trump has been railing about for 16 months, chain migration. The guy who ran over everybody on the West Side Highway, he was admitted here. He brought in 20 of his relatives. Who even knows how they background check these people to prove they're related? This guy yesterday was also a relative admittance. We're our own worst enemy. We're not discriminating against anybody. But for God's sakes, if I allow you to come in, out of the goodness of my heart as an American country, I then have to turn around and you illegally can bring in 20 other relatives? This is insane, and this will never end. You can't stop a single person, but we can certainly stop them at the door before they get in.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Danny. The area where the Bangladeshi bomber boy was living, Flatlands, Kensington, isn't far from where the schmuck, no make that the putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, who wants to welcome everybody in, grew up on Avenue R near Clarendon Road, and his father was an exterminator. And I'd like to see if Chuck Schumer says again, oh, no, this was a positive entry. This was a positive reunification of a whole Bangladeshi family as a result of the black sheep who came in across our borders and obviously decided that he wanted to exact revenge on us for being so nice to him by committing jihad in our subway system. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Imagine this.
In the 11th hour, as you're being wheeled in on the gurney into the operating room, listen to that.
Brian Mongalooch, our hipster millennial board operator who I hate, thinks he's hip, he's happening because he's playing the number one song in Bangladesh now.
I think that's a beautiful song.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, when the cyclones are coming and you have floods ready to like just sort of wipe you out of the capital, Dhaka, you could be listening to this song.
That was beautiful. It was very Sting-like. It had a Sting sort of vibe to it, you know?
Somehow I can't imagine that little indigenous Amazonian Indian, you know, with the with the plates in his lips.
Yes.
And the big earrings, you know, dragging his little ears down
to
the ground.
What does that have to do with
No, because whenever you mention Sting and the police, I immediately think of that image.
Why?
Because that's where wherever Sting went, the little indigenous Amazonian Indian went, right? You know, talking about saving the Amazonian rainforest.
Oh, God. I mean, wait, you're reaching at these weird places. I think
well, that's what happens when you drop an oxycodone hillbilly heroin.
Yes, like, apparently. But, and you took like a half of it, right? You didn't take the whole thing.
No, I took half of it. Now, where do you think I was last night for my last supper?
Were you allowed to eat? No, you're not allowed to eat.
No, but I watched people eating. I was having liquid, a clear broth, a brodo.
I'm going to say you were at your family's home.
No. I was at the Palm Restaurant downtown opposite the World Trade Center and Stuyvesant High School Battery Park City where you used to live with our very dear friends. I was there with Nancy and our great supporters of the Guardian Angels, Will Marin and Ingrid Annenberg, and Charles Oakley, the former great New York Knick.
Look at you.
Who was like telling me, hey, can you escort me back into Madison Square Garden because I've been banned there for a year. By Dolan, that nutnik.
No, you probably could, right? I mean,
no, we were negotiating that, you know, because we're going to break that moratorium that exists now where Charles Oakley is banned from Madison Square Garden. He is not permitted to come in by Dolan.
Well, make sure you let me trail you guys when you do this so I can post it on social media.
But as we're sitting there, the maitre d' of the restaurant comes up to us, the Palm Restaurant, and he goes, look, there is a bullet right on top of the restaurant sign of the 9 bullets, remember, that the police officer from the first precinct was shooting at, say, I fooled you, Saipov. Remember, Uzbekistan truck rental guy?
The Halloween attack.
Right.
Yes.
The guy from Patterson.
Yeah.
Who, again, came here as a result of the family immigration visa, and all of his relatives were able to come here, too. But we were examining the bullet hole that is still there.
Mm-hmm.
There was only one bullet that hit him, thank God. Took him out and knocked him down and prevented him from causing even more problems in that area.
That's scary, though, that the bullet hole went into the side of the front of the palm.
Yeah, there were 8 Whoa. Other bullets that were fired. One went into the side of the palm. And another, the maitre d' had a picture of a woman who was in a car. She had just stopped, and one of the bullets went through her windshield.
Stop.
Just inches away from her head.
Wow.
Yeah, no, wow. So it was so ironic that we were at that location last night.
That's interesting information. I hadn't heard that before.
That was my last supper. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Terry, who's calling from Great Neck. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Terry.
Hey, Terry.
I think, Curtis, you're fabulous, and I wish you good health, and your operation should be successful. However, let's just put one thing in perspective. America is too soft. In Israel, these bombers get their families' homes are completely demolished the next day. They're sent in exile, which is a good thing. What does America do with the family? Say, I am sorry? With going through their apartment looking for evidence, I think it is a travesty. What does What does happen?
All right, well, Terry, let me ask you how this would work out. He was staying at two different locations of family members, one near 2nd Street and one near 48th Street in Flatlands, Kensington. Would, if you had it your way, Terry, should the officials yesterday from the FBI and Department of Homeland Security remove the family, remove all of the important relevant items, and then put depth charges into the foundation and blasted both those houses to the ground?
Wouldn't that stop it? Look at the Sonnet Brothers. Look at the Halloween bomber. They're all immigrants. Is that what we invite into our country? Trump is right.
Well, you have the other side that's saying one bad apple doesn't necessarily indict an entire family, and these other people are innocent. They haven't done anything.
Juliet, you know what becomes liberal and conservative? The day after they get mugged, then you see the action.
that's actually very true.
All right,
so what would happen to you?
We have the Chelsea bomber boy. Remember, he came from Elizabeth. He was making halal fried chicken and experimenting by blowing up bombs in the backyard of that chicken shack.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have recently the Patterson Uzbeki bomber boy say, "I fooled you, Sipov." And now we have the latest addition, who I might add, like Sipov, may have been an Uber driver. Now, you're the
well,
Uber
they don't
queen.
Know. Because, yes, I am. I love Uber.
Do you remember seeing either, say, fool you, Sipov, or this guy, the
circumjerk? No, I don't. But officials apparently from the commission that gives out these livery licenses, can't figure out, or at least they're not saying, whether he was Lyft or Uber or a taxi or a livery
car. Well, let's
I'd like to kind of know.
I think he's probably Uber.
You think that they're just kind of holding that back because they don't want to.
You've probably been taken around by every Uber driver who's ever had an Uber registered.
I've been okay with the Uber drivers. One did fall asleep. I had to actually yell at him to wake up. But other than that, I've been okay.
Did you ever get into an Uber car and the driver immediately said "Allah Akbar"?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I have not.
All right, that would have been a sign right there.
I would have, you know, potentially said, let's discuss.
Discuss? Oh, what, in Urdu?
Opening the door and potentially leading.
In Urdu and in Bangladesh?
Yeah, you know, I mean.
In Bengali?
You know how many conversations I've had with Russian Uber drivers, people who have come over from Russia? We get into these long conversations. Fascinating.
And they've never tried to hustle you or come on to you?
No. Not at all.
Okay. Well, that's good. Hey, look, at least that's one group there that you've given a heads up to.
I'm open-minded, and I like hearing about people's lives from outside of our
because we're going to have to be
culture.
Talking about how the former citizen Trump may have perved on you at some point.
No, I can't wait to talk about
this.
It's so much fun.
And then also about Facebook and all the problems that are encumbered when you post, when you use it, and obviously when you communicate by it. But right now, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa. 77 WABC.
You guys remember this song from the 80s, Jody Watley? No? No? The little millennials in the control room just looking at me like deer caught in the headlights? You remember this song, Curtis? It's about stabbing your friends in the back, like many people are doing on Facebook and social media these days. Everybody's turning on each other.
What did you say? Stabbing me in the back?
Stabbing generally, just stabbing your friends in the back.
When my former partner Ron Kuby testified on behalf of John Gotti Jr. against me in court?
That would be a very good example.
All right, mm-hmm. Right. Okay, now you've really gotten my anger up.
So, I mean, you know, we're going to be talking in a little while about some stuff that happened over the weekend. It actually started breaking on Friday, Elevator Gate, as I've started to call it. But it kind of brings us into this topic about where we've become as a society when it comes to social media and what it's done to basically the fabric of humanity. I mean, really, there isn't anymore. I'm on Facebook and I see some people that I consider friends, people that I actually really, really like, and I see them commenting and saying some of the most horrific, vile, guttural things, not just about topics, but to other people. And you know, as somebody who worked for Fox News for almost 20 years, I've been on the receiving end of a lot of that, and I'm used to it at this point. But I feel like we've just gotten to a point as a society where now it's not only just normal, but it's kind of acceptable. It's kind of like you're seeing parents, I mean, people, teachers, you know, people who are supposed to be pillars of their community, people who are supposed to be, you know, people who are supposed to be examples to their children that are just acting like maniacs in a public form. It's not like they're just sending little, you know, messages privately. They're blowing it all over social media publicly. And they have no problem doing it. I'm just like, what has happened to us?
Do we blame this on the Zuckerberg?
A lot of people are actually blaming Mark Zuckerberg and the founders of the, you know, the original social media founders, including one of the former vice presidents of growth, I think he was, at Facebook. He joined in 2007. He was the vice president of user growth. And he says he feels tremendous guilt about this company that is now a behemoth, but a company that he was on the ground floor of trying to create, you know, a good thing.
All right, but they created a vehicle. If the vehicle isn't being used the way it was meant to be used, why would we throw doubt on Zuckerberg and the many guys and gals who assisted him in that venture as a startup company, when in fact it's people who,
well, that's exactly right,
who have actually started to use it in the negative. For instance, when I first looked at Facebook, all I saw people doing was posting what they had had for breakfast that day.
Yeah.
Or lunch.
Or dinner. Those were the good old
days. It's like, what the hell is this about? I don't need to see what you had for breakfast or lunch or dinner, but it seemed people were like, they were getting a vicarious thrill out of being able to post every little thing that they were doing at every point of their life.
And then the selfies started coming in. Then all of a sudden the selfie phenomena began. And it was, now you're showing the food that you cooked with it behind you and your arm kind of a little bit in the front of the picture because, you know, you are taking a picture of yourself and the food that you've cooked.
Well, now explain to me the dark side of it. The things that you have seen that have emerged from Facebook that are troubling to you.
Well, I mean, just from a personal standpoint, and I'll just give you an example from this past weekend. I have my private Juliet Huddy page, which is for my friends, family, colleagues, you know, some acquaintances and stuff like that. And I really try to keep it to people that I know, that I trust, and that I feel are supportive of me and my life and my endeavors. Then I have a Juliet Huddy TV Facebook page. And I happen to, you know, you get the little updates on my regular private page. I get the updates for the Juliet Huddy TV page. And I cannot tell, you can look at it right now. I mean, I cannot tell you the swill, not just attacks, verbal attacks, but threats, you know, suggestions that I should be raped because of comments that I made that were innocuous, last week on this show and on another show. I mean, it's just, and they're doing this publicly. And
are these trolls? Are these people who just do this wherever
they
can?
Well, these are people who, I mean, at least from my understanding, these are people who are major, major supporters of Donald Trump who cannot hear or see anything that just inches into the negative territory about him, about their God, because they just go ballistic. And rather than actually listen to what I had said, and we'll talk about this at one, but rather than listen to what I said, they're watching the clickbait media's little tantalizing headlines, and they're going with it without even remotely saying, okay, wait, what exactly was she saying? What exactly did she mean? Was this really an indictment on Donald Trump? No, it wasn't. And if you had read that, and if you had actually listened to what I said, you'd know that. But nobody cares anymore, and people just go crazy. And I mean, the stuff that I got. I mean, and again, I can handle this because I've been in the public eye for a long time, and I've. You pretty much can't say anything that I haven't heard already. I mean, you know, I'm still a human being, and there are still moments when if I'm feeling a little upset about maybe I found out something about, you know, my mother's health and I'm upset that day, or a friend, you know, going through something and I'm feeling vulnerable. You know, you'll read something and it'll affect you. But for the most part, I can handle it. But there are a lot of people out there that are not in public eye. They haven't thrown themselves in the public eye, but they still get attacked with these vicious, vitriolic, horrible things. And it's just, it's scary.
So,
I mean, it's really scary.
Since it is a public forum, what would you say could be done by the organizers of Facebook to try to shield people from these endless attacks?
Nothing, because, I mean, it's free speech. And people who decide that they hate me, they think I'm an old hag, they think I'm washed up, and they have every right to say what they want. I guess, you know, Facebook has allowed you to be able to block people. And for the most part, I think most of the time when you block somebody, you know, yeah, they can create another name, but it's kind of like,
well,
it gets to a point.
Defriend them. You defriend them.
You unfriend or whatever. You know, it's so silly. But
and then they take exception to that. When you all of a sudden uncouple somebody, you defriend them.
When they've insulted you for,
right,
you know.
Right. Why am I no longer your friend? Why did you defriend me?
Well, that's for people that you
they
actually
take
are friends
to
with.
That, right.
Well, that's for people that you're friends with. I mean, I don't know if you're, are you even on Facebook? But like,
yes.
You've got your friends, but then
right.
You've got also the pages that you manage. And
this is
where all hell breaks loose.
A Facebook post earlier today said, hey, don't you find it ironic that you're being hospitalized almost at the same time that the son of Sam, the .44 caliber killer, is being hospitalized? And the Facebook person was saying, gee, I hope you kick it first before he does.
Why? Now, how do you know?
See, I enjoy that.
You do? Yeah, you do like that kind of stuff.
I enjoy that.
Sometimes I actually enjoy, like, sometimes if I'm feeling sassy, which is 90% of the time,
yes.
I actually kind of enjoy tweeting people back and just, I never name call. I think I've done that maybe once or twice. But I try to just kind of throw it back a little bit or kind of joke around. And sometimes, I mean, with this past weekend, I actually wrote some people back that said some pretty horrible stuff.
We're going to discuss that
yes.
extensively in the 1 o'clock
yeah.
hour. But ladies and gentlemen, what started out so good, in which people could showcase to you what they have for breakfast in the morning or lunch or dinner, has seemingly gone awry for so many because of all these trolls out there and because of the negativity that is consumed. So many of the social networking sites, especially Facebook, Twitter, even starting with Instagram and some others. 1-800-848-WABC. And what do you think could be done? And more importantly, when you decide to defriend somebody, uncouple from somebody, it causes you all kinds of mishigash because you have to end up explaining to this person why they're no longer able.
They're usually aware of why you did it.
I know, but they want a further explanation, particularly if they are your friend, if they've known you, if they've been a co-worker. If all of a sudden after 10 years you drop them like a bad habit. 1-800-848-WABC. And speaking of a bad habit, oh my God, another one's going to bite the dust.
What? What?
Except this one, Larry King.
Oh.
Larry King, who is a cadaver in formaldehyde, right? What is he, like 97 years old, 98 years
old? I don't know how old he is.
He's on that Russian TV Vladimir Putin network now. Now Terry Richard, ex-wife of singer Eddie Fisher, claims that Larry King was perving her and groping her at two separate situations at Universal Studios. She claims that it always took place when there was a photo opportunity.
So he always took place when there was a photo opportunity?
Yes.
That's weird.
So King would actually grope her as he would slide his hand down her backless dress and rest his fingers in between her butt cheeks.
God, I can't.
Richards claims Yikes. The second time was also while they were taking a photo together, and King squeezed her butt so hard that she had to go to the hospital because it left a large bruise.
For a bruise?
We've heard about Tookus grabbers, Franken, and obviously Bush 41, but you grab a woman's tuchus so hard, she has to go to the hospital, the ER, because she's all bruised up.
Now, if there was a photo op while this was happening, then did she not, you know, screech and say, what are you doing? What was the story with that? Why did she, was she just?
Well, no, she wants him gone. She wants Vladimir Putin to fire Larry King from Russian TV. Now, do you think that's going to occur, ladies and gentlemen? 1-800-848-WABC. And here is Larry King recently talking about Donald Trump.
He was fascinated because he was Trump. He was, you know, Trump was Trump and is Trump. What you're seeing is a true reality star figure who was, even though he's burst onto the scene, he was very well known. It's not a shock that people are attracted to Donald Trump.
Oh, please, say it ain't so, Larry. Tookus grabber extraordinaire. A guy who's kited checks in the past, was a deadbeat to loan sharks.
Have you ever met him?
Yeah. I was interviewed by Larry King many times. Nice guy on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But he's had so many problems off the air, and he's always been a survivor. The question is now, will Vladimir Putin fire him on Russian TV? Because that's his final...
Something's telling me that's not going to happen. I don't think Vladimir Putin is quite...
I think Vladimir Putin would actually give him a medal.
Coming down on the sexual harassers.
Right. It was sad. The perv medal as
I'm,
number
I'm
one
sure
perv.
I'm not sure about that, yeah.
But this is so incredible. The woman claimed that he squeezed her tuchus so hard, she had to go to the Mount Sinai Hospital in L.A. to the ER unit because her tuchus was bruised.
And this is the ex-wife of Eddie Fisher. Eddie Fisher, who was married to Liz Taylor?
Liz Taylor.
Right.
Yes.
Who, okay. When, who was he? He was married to, before he was with,
also married
cheating
to the blonde
on. Dude. Yeah, what was, I'm blanking on it. Anyway. All right, yeah, this guy's, I mean,
he's
quite a life this Eddie Fisher.
He's a good little booker boy, but boy, he certainly attracted the women.
He was part of the Rat Pack, right?
Not really.
Like an extraneous part of the Rat
Pack?
Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, the guy.
I thought he was, like,
was a great crooner, but obviously he was a ladies' man extraordinaire.
I guess so. If you had
muscled,
Elizabeth Taylor.
He muscled a lot of these women away from their husbands. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Fred and Garfield. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here.
Yeah.
Yes, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah. Curtis, Carrie Fisher was Eddie Fisher's daughter, not his wife.
I don't think he said it was his wife.
That's what I thought I heard. But
oh,
anyway,
no.
I want to wish him luck with the surgery because I'm 81 and I took a backseat to life with that same condition. I know what he goes through.
Did you have any surgery?
No, they never suggested it, but I just didn't get married. I didn't do nothing.
Oh, yeah, you don't feel like doing anything at all, right?
Right,
didn't
but
get
buddy, if I come back, I want to come back like you without the John Gotti incident because you're the best. You're
thank you. By the way, do you want to come back like me with a colostomy bag on?
No, I said I don't want to, everything but the John Gotti.
Oh, okay, all right. So minus the colostomy bag, but he wants the morphine pump.
He says you're a man's man. Did you hear that?
Yes, he did.
You are. You are one tough dude.
In the streets, the highest compliment that I get in the hood is when they say, you're the effing man.
Yeah.
That is the highest compliment.
I was at a little Christmas gathering with my family, and we were talking about you, and I got a little misty, I have to say, when I was talking about working with you and how proud I am of you and how impressed I am with you.
Oh,
you
good.
Are a man, too. I look up to you. I respect you.
Keep pulling my chains and chewing my shorts. I love that. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Curtis Sliwa. The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Minutes after the hour of one, Juliet Huddy in the house.
Oh, hello, everyone.
As we are high atop Madison Square Garden and the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you on 50,000 powerful watts of sound by njdiet.com. And as you know, the clock ticks. We are just one day away. Tomorrow at this time, I will be under the knife at Columbian Presbyterian. After a 2-year ordeal of suffering from colitis, ileitis, and Crohn's disease that has been paralyzing. So I lost 60 pounds, not because I wanted to, and can't even digest any whole food any longer. I'm on IV and liquids, but I am looking forward tomorrow to the extensive surgery that hopefully will give me relief that oxycodone hillbilly heroin has been unable to do.
Let's hope so. This is the final stretch.
Final stretch. But meantime, as I was perusing the newspapers on Saturday, I saw an explosion of articles, starting with Page Six in the New York Post and other periodicals, that was featuring you, Juliet Huddy. You had told the story of a time a while back when you had a luncheon meeting with then Citizen Trump. He was the producer of The Apprentice at the time, and I think he was
looking... Which was like one of the top 10 shows, I think, at that time.
Right. And as a result of what you said, both here and in another radio broadcast, it just seemed to cause all kinds of bombs bursting in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you pick it up from there? Because apparently, since you have been under siege.
Yeah, you could say that. Well, first of all, I felt the need to reiterate this story because People were asking me about the story, namely my friends Curtis Lewa sitting here and my other friend Bill Schultz, who hosts a web show. And both of these guys knew about this story that I've told 100 times over the course of the last 12 years, probably hundreds of people, you know, I guess the last 12 years or so. And by the way, notice I emphasized or so, meaning that I cannot recall with certainty the exact date, but I'm certain that Donald Trump wasn't married. And I said that, and I was very definitive when I said that. I also said that I believed that he was single at the time. This was, to me, a story that I've told because it's a lighthearted story. It's not a bad story. I'm not indicting him as being a sexual harasser, and God, I'm not indicting him of being a sexual assaulter. This was a story that I actually sold because I thought it was a great story about a man who is one of the most famous men in the world. At that time, he was one of the most famous men in the world, just being the, you know, the apprentice guy and this famous billionaire. But the thing is that a lot of people said, well, why did you even tell it in the first place? If you're not trying to jump on the anti-Trump bandwagon, then why tell it in the first place? Well, like, the answer to that question is because I'm not his publicist. I'm not his press secretary. I'm not in the business of editing my life and my words and my behavior to insulate the president from critics, period. I was asked to retell the elevator story by a couple colleagues who know me personally, who thought it's a great story. That's obviously the reason that you asked me about it. And that was it. It was very simple. And it turned into something that was just completely sensationalized by shocking the clickbait mafia, otherwise known as media. And I'm not just talking about, you know, the internet media. I'm talking about mainstream media like People Magazine, Us Weekly, the New York Daily News, leading with headlines that were just completely sensationalized and exploitive of a very simple, funny story. To me, it was a funny story.
Well, why don't you recap for our listeners exactly what the circumstances were that led to that elevator rendezvous?
Donald Trump used to watch Fox and Friends on the weekends, which is a show that I hosted. And he called one day and secretary said, come on down. Mr. Trump would like to take you to lunch at Trump Tower, which I did. He was great. We had lunch right there in the, you know, the restaurant there in the lobby area. I mean, it was just a perfectly friendly lunch. He was talking to me about potentially having me do some stuff with The Apprentice or another spinoff show. And that was it. We went back. We got into the elevator. I was going to drop him off. His security guard was with us. When he leaned in to say goodbye to me, rather than kiss me on the cheek, he kissed me on the lips. It was a quick peck. I was a little stunned because I thought, well, this is supposed to be this, you know, the guy that hates germs. And, you know, did he mean to do that? But I, you know, I walked out of there kind of laughing about it. I was a little stunned. I was a little shocked. I was flattered. I wasn't horrified. I didn't feel threatened. And, you know, the fact is he was single. I was single. In my mind, I took it as this is a guy who was maybe, you know, making a move on a single chick. And, you know, I didn't necessarily think it was the most proper, you know, thing to do because I don't believe I discussed whether or not I was taken. But the fact is it was innocent to me. And that's the end of the story.
Did he follow up with any text or emails?
He actually asked. I told him that my friend was meeting me, and he said later on, you know, come back in a couple of days, and I'll take you around. And I'll tour you on the Apprentice set. I had seen him myriad times over the last 10, 12 years, whatever it's been. We've had nothing but a positive reaction. I mean, I actually personally really, really liked him. I thought he was.
I think he's. This is attributable to his obsession in watching Fox and Friends, which we know oftentimes guides him in terms of what he tweets in the mornings, or he was just taken up by you.
I don't know. You can ask him that, but it really wasn't a big deal. I mean, how many times, ladies, if you're listening, how many times have you been out where a man gave you some attention, maybe gave you the peck on the lips, and you didn't, you know, you weren't interested, but you didn't think it was a big deal. I mean, does this story really, should it really be garnering these headlines? Like, for instance, there was some headline on Snapchat where it was trending, where it said something like, in quotes, meaning that I said this, Trump tried to cheat with me. I mean, are you kidding me? I never said anything of the sort. The Us Weekly, you know, magazine is pretty high circulation. Headline, former Fox News host Juliette Huddy claims Donald Trump tried to kiss her while he was married. No, That's not the case, Us Weekly, nor was it the case, New York Daily News. When you put the headline out, former Fox News anchor claims a married President Trump tried kissing her on the lips at Trump Tower. It's a bunch of crap. And you know what? This is why people can't stomach the media, the mainstream media included, because they twist things and they use it as clickbait to try to get attention to their magazine, their website,
Juliet
their
Hudding,
paper.
Are you sure he wasn't married to Marla Maples or
he was
Melania
not married.
At the time
when he was snacking on you? I'm 100% sure he was not married. And I mean, you know, look.
Well, there's another part of the story.
What?
That suggests that maybe he was snacking on you. Because apparently, and you could tell it, you were on the set of a Fox News Channel show when he walked in. And what is it that he told everyone in the crowd?
He turned around to the audience, and the producers were right there. We weren't on the air at the time, but there were probably 50 people in the audience. It was the morning show with Mike and Juliet, which has since been canned. But he said, gave me a hug goodbye, and he said, you know, I tried to hit on her, but she blew me off. I mean, those were his exact words. It was the audience
so he
laughed. Everybody
he
laughed. Was,
he
no,
did try to hit on you.
It was no big deal. I mean, it was funny. It was flattering. And whether or not it was actually really hitting on me, who cares? I mean, the thing is, politically, I'll admit this, and because I think this is important, too. I am not a Trump supporter. I admit that. But that said, up until earlier this year, personally, I was a Trump supporter.
Right,
I liked him a lot. My experiences with him were always positive.
So when these series of articles appeared all over the world, what was the blowback that you got from people who were threatening death and destruction to you?
Well, the feeling is that I jumped on board this, you know,
this now we are the accusers attack.
Yeah. Right. And that's just not the case. And it wasn't my intention. And, you know, the fact is, the biggest question I got is, well, if you didn't mean to hurt him, then why tell the story? Because it's a funny story. And my friends on the air asked me to talk about it. That's why.
But a lot
I mean,
Trump,
do we have to edit ourselves
I know,
about
but a lot
everything?
Of, a lot of Trump supporters identifying themselves as Trump supporters attacked you viciously, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, but the thing is, if they're looking at the clickbait mafia headlines and they're not actually listening to what I had to say about it, I could see why they were so pissed off. You know, yet again, here's another person in the media jumping on the bandwagon.
Off to the point of threatening you, claiming you should be raped?
Yeah, I mean,
should be dead?
Yeah, you guys, I mean, really. Again, I've dealt with this for a long time, and everybody that's in the media, we all deal with this. We do. But God, I mean, really, really? Do we just have to go there? I mean, can't you just say, hey, Huddy, you know, what's your problem with Trump? Let me answer. I'll give you, here's my problem with Trump. He stuck up for Bill O'Reilly, and I thought that sucked. But other than that, I really didn't have a problem with him at all. I liked him.
Our numbers, 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Vic, who's calling from Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Vic.
Hey, Vic.
Yes, hello, Vic. Vic is gone. Let's go to Marge, who's calling from, where are you calling from, Marge?
I'm in Westtown, New York.
Hi, Marge.
Appreciate it. Where is Westtown?
It's actually like in the tri-state New Jersey line, PA line.
Ah, okay.
Oh, so you're out there.
Okay, so right near Port Jervis?
Yeah, not too far, right over the mountain.
All right, now I've just learned something. Thank
West
you, Marge.
Westtown.
Hi, Juliet.
Hi, Marge. What's up?
Well, I want to agree with you. And so I was listening to your story, and it occurred to me, because, you know, I've heard this day after day after day, all these sexual... Are women really that weak that they have to boo-hoo over every little pass?
Well, that's the thing. I feel like, and a lot of people made this point, a lot of Trump supporters made this point, and it's a valid point. You know, we've got to start being really careful about marginalizing the true stories, the true allegations, the true sexual predator and sexual harasser situations. There has to be a line. I mean, we really have to be careful about this. And that was a point that a lot of people made, and they were right.
Yeah, but exactly. It can be a fine line, but I mean, over the many years, I've had, like you, they kiss you on the lips. Oh, I brush it off, you know, whatever. He wants me, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you just move on.
But so, you know, some women are offended by that, though.
A kiss on the lips, that's really bold of somebody.
To suddenly think
they can put their lips on your lips and kiss you.
Well, you know what? I'm a friendly person. Maybe they got the wrong message. So
no.
After
look, I'm a guy.
Lips, I just then I'm done. And I'm like, you just don't make any more of it. And
let me ask you, do you think that each individual situation should be looked at in this type of case where, a guy leans in for a peck on the lips, or even if it's just, a smack on the kisser type of kiss, that you have to trust the woman who is in that situation to be able to say, you know what, it was over the line, I felt uncomfortable, or I felt threatened, or...
Guys know different.
You catch the vibe.
They know different. They shouldn't be lip smacking when it's unwanted. Let's go to Leon, calling from Manhattan. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy, Leon.
Leon.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
All right.
How about better days, Leon?
I've been listening to your conversation, and I heard the conversation... whenever that was, perhaps Friday, the initial comments about Ms. Huddy's experience with Donald Trump. First, let me just say that I'm not much of a Trump supporter, but I think Ms. Huddy's being disingenuous.
Well, why is that?
Because when you made those comments last week, they had a very different attitude, and they portrayed a at least somewhat different picture of what happened, or at least your feelings about it.
I said the exact same thing that I said today. It wasn't a big deal.
No, it wasn't. What you said it was that you were going to let the audience decide.
Well, exactly, because it's they. Of course.
No, that was an insinuation. That was an insinuation that perhaps it could have been. It could be interpreted as inappropriate.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, from my heart, and this is the truth, and you can believe me or not, that was not my intention to insinuate
that's
how you took it, I'm clarifying it now. That was not my intention. And by the way, if that's how I meant it, then that's how I meant it. I have nothing to apologize for if that's what I felt. But that's not what I felt. And I'm clarifying that. Because it's true. I think definitely people have the wrong impression of what I felt. I didn't feel it at the time. I've told this story hundreds of times, and I always told it the same way. Again, if you took it as though I was trying to indict him as one of the, one of the leches, that was not my intention, period.
I just jumped in here. You said he felt you up, too?
What?
Is that what you said? You
No.
didn't feel it?
Oh, stop.
Oh, all right. Look, I'm just trying to clarify. Let's go to Mike in Queens. Welcome to Juliet and courtesy of WABC. Mikey?
Hi. How you doing, everybody? Hope you're feeling all right, Tilla. Listen, this is ridiculous at this point. The woman is telling a story. What is the big deal? It's not
a big brother.
It's and even I get up and I'm looking at, and I voted for President Trump. I'm looking at his tweets. When does this end with everybody?
You
can't even talk anymore.
That's true.
No. This guy has had an obsession to tweet. He's going to tweet. As long as he's in office, there's just no way to stop him. Look, I've suggested the Chinese... Chinese finger traps, but apparently his chief of staff, Kelly, cannot administer them. The guy is out of control with his twittering.
Well,
he tweets like nonstop. There's a bomber boy. There was a Bangladeshi bomber boy here, and he's attacking the New York Times instead of talking about Bangladeshi bomber boy on his Twitter account. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. And to Max, we go in Port Washington. Welcome to Juliet and Curtis here at WABC. Max?
Yeah, Juliet, the other gentleman was right. You're being very disingenuous, and I think you're great. I really like you. But you had to have known what this guy was looking for, and you had to have known the reaction you were going to get once you tell this story. Otherwise, there was no point in telling the story. And women
let me correct you. Hold on. I've told this story 100 times.
Thing?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, and women in general need to stop pretending that these men want to be friends with them. I work for a huge agency that it's going to have 10,000 women. You know how many women I have as friends? One. And she's more manly than me. I have no interest in being friends with them, and most men don't. So when women pretend... That these men want to invite them out for to
it was supposed to be a professional lunch, FYI. That was the situation. No.
The story was disingenuous because you had to have known the reaction you were going to get.
The reaction I was going to get. What do you mean the reaction from
after you tell the story?
I've told this story hundreds of times, and I've never had any reaction to it other than people cracking up and going, "Oh my God, that's crazy! Donald Trump tried to kiss you. The president tried to kiss you." That's the only reaction I've ever received.
He's the president of the United States. You had to have known you were going to get.
Listen, had I honestly, had I known Had I known what I was going to get this type of reaction, believe me, I probably would not have told the story. I can assure you of that.
So you didn't think you would be joining the ranks of, now let's try round two against
no,
the president?
No, I didn't. I didn't. You know, which right. I didn't think that I was going to tell a story that would actually be considered something that would be part of this, these people who you know, have the narrative that this highlights some sort of pattern of nefarious behavior. I think I told the story fairly clearly. That I didn't think that it in any way, shape, or form does that.
Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Mikey?
How you doing, guys? Curtis, Scooch, good luck tomorrow. You're going to be fine.
Thank you.
Number two, Juliet, I just Googled your picture. I would have done the same thing Trump did. Trust me, you are gorgeous.
Well, you're very sweet. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good luck, Jeech.
So wait a second. You would have been lip locking with Juliet in that that elevator.
You got it, buddy, and I would gladly go to prison after that.
All right, let's go to Joe, who's calling from Port North. Welcome to WABC, Giuseppe.
Hey, Curtis. Hey, Juliet. How are you? First of all, I want to, Curtis, I'll be 66 next month. I got you in my prayers every single day, brother, and you're going to be fine. And you know why? The world's a better place with you in it.
That's right.
Thank you very much, Giuseppe.
And Juliet, I commend you for, you know, saying what you had to say and having the tolerance to say it didn't mean anything. Although,
I think he fell off the radar.
I love it. Although ..
Although now since you are exempting yourself from the women now who are saying now let's try round two against President Trump. Whereas before we made these accusations against candidate Trump, you are clearly distancing yourself from them. You don't want to be lumped with the 17 who have claimed at different points in Donald Trump's life he perved them.
Like I said, and you know, to the earlier caller's point, if it's disingenuous because I said you make your own choice, I'm not going to tell somebody that if they look at this and they think, well, this was sexual harassment or this was sexual misconduct because he leaned in and kissed a woman that he didn't know that it was okay to kiss. You think whatever you think. I don't think that that's the case. That's my point. And no, I do not lump myself in with these women.
Was Donald Trump a good mouth kisser?
I don't.
Dry mouth.
It was very quick.
Wet. You don't remember.
It was
remember.
Very quick.
Did it titillate you?
No, it did not.
It didn't get a rise out of you.
Curtis.
Did he have bad breath?
Curtis.
I'm just inquiring.
Curtis.
No?
Remember, you're going under the knife tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
There are
that.
Certain people that have asked to be in the operating room.
Yeah, well, you're not one of them. That's
you
for
drop
sure.
A juji fruit in there.
Although you can go to the Curtis Facebook page on WABC and look at the knife that the surgeons want to use to extract my ulcerated intestines.
That they want to use.
Yes, they want to use because they said it'll make the process go quicker. Please weigh in on that. I'm game
you
for it.
Have some intestinal situation there, buddy.
Let's just say it's bigger than a Rambo knife and a Ginzu knife combined.
I wouldn't mess with you.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC. Well, I won't back down.
No, I won't back down. Doubles down.
You can stand of hell, but I won't back down.
139, 17 women will not back down who claim that citizen and candidate Donald Trump had perved them. In fact, they're calling it, now let's try round two. And it seems in the United States Senate, leading the pack of those that are calling for the resignation of President Trump is Gillibrand, U.S. Senator from New York. In fact, this is what she said last night on CNN.
Well, President Trump should resign. These allegations are credible. They are numerous. I've heard these women's testimony, and many of them are heartbreaking. And President Trump should resign his position. Whether he will ever hold himself accountable is something, you know, you really can't hold your breath for. And so Congress should have hearings. They should do their investigation. They should have appropriate investigations of his behavior and hold him accountable.
And naturally, in response, Donald Trump did not stay mute. He immediately took to his Twitter account, called Gillibrand a political lightweight, a total flunky of the schmuck to putz Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, who would come into his offices and beg for campaign donations and would do anything to get them.
See, it's lines like that, and he and would do anything for them, in parentheses. That's the stuff that gets him in a lot of trouble.
Why? Are you suggesting?
Because there are those who will take that as an intimation that, you know, he's suggesting that she would do anything for him.
Yeah, that she would get down on her knees and orally fixate him in his office in order to get a campaign donation. That's what goes through the minds of some in regards to that. You're right. He could have said, look, she's a political lightweight, which he is, that she's a flunky of the Schmuck, the Putz, Chuck E. Cheese, Schumer. Everybody knows that she is. He, in fact, designated her to take the place, the U.S. Senate place, of Hillary Rodham Clinton when Clinton was appointed Secretary of State for Barack Obama. And remember, it was Caroline Kennedy, who can't chew gum and think at the same time, who was being promoted for the U.S. Senate seat by Barack Obama and Michael Bloomberg. So it definitely was Chuck E. Cheese Schumer's choice of which marionette he wanted, and that she begs for campaign contributions. Absolutely, like all these political whores do. They're always begging. Well, they are. Because Schumer
probably
especially.
Probably not the best term to use.
Well, he is a political whore. He goes to the hedge fund monsters on Wall Street and makes deals. He gets wine lined and parking lined. But
I mean, that's pretty much all of them.
But do anything. Right there, then that gets into the sexual realm again, almost suggesting that she would sleep with him, orally fixate him, personally satisfy him to whatever his predilections are in order to get a campaign contribution. And that's where you got to draw the line.
And his supporters will say, no, that's not what he intimated. That was not his, the point that he was trying to make.
Let's find out from everyone out there. What did you take of the presidential tweet response to Gillibrand calling for him to step down because of all these sexual harassment charges against him by 17 women? She is a political lightweight, total flunky of the Schmuck, the Putz, Chuck E. Cheese, Schumer, begs for campaign funds, and would do anything.
That's kind of a la
to get the campaign funds.
The blood coming out of, you know, when she was referring to, who was that he was referring to?
Megyn Kelly.
That was Megyn. Yeah, that's right.
Your friend.
Yes.
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 Anyway, let's open up the lines. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And as part of the group that is now referring to themselves as Now Let's Try Round Two, a number of the women accusing Donald Trump of sexual harassment are doing interviews, they're having press conferences. Listen to Samantha Hooley, who was a beauty contest, a beauty contestant in North Carolina at, I guess, a Miss USA pageant, or one of these pageants, in which apparently Trump, she claims, was perving the girls in the dressing room.
Comes in like he owns the place and like he owns you and is just looking at us, eyeing us up and down, and then walked into the dressing room where we have two big security guards to make sure nobody but the girls and our female chaperones can get into the dressing room, and he just walks right in.
And then there was Rachel Crooks, who had actually worked for Trump, who was in that same elevator you were discussing at the Trump Tower.
And on one day, I decided to introduce myself because I did see him regularly. And he shook my hand, you know, and he kind of gave me the normal double cheek kiss. But then he held on to my hand and he kept kissing me. You know, he kept asking me maybe a question, where are you from? And kissing me again.
Where is this? Where is this happening?
It's right outside the elevators, right outside my office.
So that he was kept kissing you?
Yeah, he went, I don't know how many times, back and forth, multiple, and then he kissed me on the lips.
That was on the Megyn Kelly show yesterday, which I think was preempted here because of obviously what happened at Port Authority.
Oh, yeah, Bangladeshi bomber boy.
Yeah, Bangladeshi bomber boy.
Right. Anyway,
busted us out of that Megyn Kelly show.
Jessica Leeds, who was discussing how she got perved on an airline flight in which she shared a seat next to Donald Trump.
All of a sudden, he's all over me, kissing and groping and groping and kissing, when his hand started going up my skirt. I'm not a small person. I managed to wiggle out and stand up.
And so they have all aligned with one another, and they have said the president needs to go, or at least submit himself before congressional hearings. Let's go, if we can, Juliet Huddy, to the phones. Hector, first up in the queue, calling from Queens. Welcome to WABC, Hector.
Hi, how are you today?
I've had better days, Hector.
Okay, I'm a Hispanic Trump supporter, and we We had it with all these false allegations. We are behind on Maine. No matter what the media comes out with it every day. The more the worse they talk about Trump, the more we supported him and the more we hate the media.
If, Hector, you were to find out that any of these allegations were true, would that change your mind about Trump?
Well, listen, let me tell you one thing. It would not change my mind because this country, what Trump means for this country and what he's doing is a lot more important than probably that person that has been sacrificed.
Oh, jeez, wow. Mm. That
so
says
basically,
it all, I think.
It's for the king. Whatever the king wants, the king gets to do.
He's a god to some people.
It's part of idolatry. He's on a pedestal that he can do no wrong. Hector is like one of the Trump supporters. And Trump had said, remember, if I went down on Fifth Avenue and shot somebody in the head, my supporters would say that's okay.
Is there anybody that finds that last phone call as disturbing as I do? I mean, are we so beholden to our political party and our political idols that we just cannot accept?
Well, it's so partisan. Remember, the Democrats are saying pervs are better than your pervs.
It's alarming.
Judge Roy Moore, we need
both
him.
Both sides of the aisle.
Even if he's a pedophile, because we can't let Doug Jones, the Democrat, get in. We'll be talking about that up next.
Yeah.
Let's go to Carol calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Carol.
Not call. I've never called before. I'm a 73-year-old woman. I was 16 years old, graduated from high school and from secretarial school on my first job, and I was attacked by an engineer. I immediately told. I cannot understand how anyone could wait years to tell.
Well, you don't. That's your situation, and you don't understand what some women are going through, whether they have family things that they're trying to protect, whether they're concerned about losing their job, and many have because they have come out. There are a lot of things. I think you shouldn't judge. I think that we should encourage women to stand up.
That, but I don't understand it. But my thing is, I don't understand how someone can wait 10, 20, 30, 40 years what happened to them, and it's my opinion that when they wait until it's politically appropriate for them, that just doesn't fit with me.
Well, perhaps though that they've waited until they felt like the culture, like the way we are as a society now, we've become disgusted with that. We're starting to inch around the corner and we're starting to say enough is enough. Not just women are saying this, but men too are standing up and saying we've got your backs. In the most platonic way possible.
You know,
but I got your point.
All these allegations coming forward about candidates and elected officials on both sides of the aisle, both mm-hmm. Democrats and Republicans, have led to a Democrat running for the attorney general slot in Michigan, Lansing, saying vote for the candidate without the penis so it won't get that person into trouble.
Well, I think that's a little extreme. But I mean,
it may well get her elected.
Yeah, well, potentially. I mean, people are encouraging Gretchen Carlson to run for office in Minnesota. Gretchen Carlson, who was the face on Time magazine of the Silence Breakers. I mean, there is definitely a movement. This is a moment in time that is a moment that a lot of people are jumping on.
Let's go to Lauren calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Lauren.
Hey, Lauren.
Hey, Curtis. Many healing prayers for you, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think it is beyond pathetic and dangerous how everything he says is being micro-inspected. There are far greater issues going on in this world. For us to put time and energy into this woman's comments now, and the way the media ultra inspects and tries to distort and twist everything is, again, it's a dangerous thing for all of us.
Why is it dangerous that all of this information comes to the surface? Because clearly, as a society, we never wanted to hear this stuff. We weren't encouraging it.
No. I'm talking specifically about what Trump said about that woman. You know, she'll do anything. I'm specifically talking about that.
Yeah, I told you the conclusion I came to is that she would orally fixate him in order to get a campaign donation. That was my conclusion. I felt he should never have included that in his tweet.
Well, again, when someone says anything, yes, semantically it means, it could mean anything from zero to 100.
Yeah, but Lauren, think about a man's mind. This is a man writing it, not a woman. This is a man who is used to telling people, I can perv them, I can touch them. We remember the Billy Bush tape. And lights that sense that, yeah, they'll do anything that I tell them to.
But that's not
her. Because they want something from me.
But Lauren is saying that that is not her perception of what he was trying to say. And she's, you know, like we talked about.
Well, why did
look
he
at the way
it?
The clickbait mafia just twists
everything. I know,
but
why did he include that line?
But that's, well, I kind of lean towards you. I kind of feel like that's maybe what he was suggesting. But I could be very wrong. You could be very wrong. Lauren could be very right.
She would do anything?
It was just,
that wouldn't include have sex with him.
He's doubling down as he does.
Bend over for him. Get spanked by him. She would do anything. That is all inclusive.
So let me ask you, Curtis, then why does he say this when he gets flack from people like you?
I do not think he respects women. I do not think that Donald Trump respects women. And I think it starts going back to his mother, the idolatry he had for his father. And he almost never ever mentions his mother, other than she gave me this Bible that he probably hasn't even read yet. 1-800-848-WABC. As we continue, Justin B. Love, our producer, phone screener, informs me that two Trump supporters identifying themselves as such said, oh, Curtis doesn't like Trump? Well, he should die on that operating table tomorrow and
nobody
not come
said
back.
That, Justin.
Yes, he did. Two of them.
Oh,
it's par for the course.
Thumb thuggery.
Hey, guess
phone.
What? Tough noogies. I'm going to wrestle the Grim Reaper again like I've done in the past, and I will be back.
You guys should be ashamed of yourselves for saying that. That's terrible.
No, they shouldn't, because that's their true feelings. Let's go to David in Middletown.
Horrible.
Welcome to WABC,
see how this man
David.
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Julie.
Hey.
About 10 years ago when you were running the morning drive. So that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Listen, my comment is on the woman who made the claim about the assault on the airplane. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been on a plane once or twice and in first class also. I find it hard to believe that he did everything she said and no one else on the plane, right there in first class in front of everybody, and nobody witnessed it, nobody said nothing, nobody did anything. I can't believe that.
Well, it's hard to believe at first, except you see there have been a series of those same allegations made in the past few months by all kinds of women sharing seats next to men, whether in class section or in first class section or in coach.
You know, the lights go off when you're traveling transcontinentally,
and a lot of
too.
People are sleeping, and they have absolutely no idea what's going on. So on that one, I'm a doubting Thomas. But 17, can all 17 be wrong and lying?
Curtis Sliwa. Boom! The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa from the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Great song, Neil Young.
It sounds
Southern
like he's
man.
Sucking in helium.
Well, you know why Neil Young sang this song, talking about all the times during the years that there were bullwhips, there was slavery in the South, and there was the just total repression of blacks, even after the Civil War and after Reconstruction. And that's why the favorite group of Justin B. Love, Invader from Alabama, like a hipster and millennial, has come into our city and populated it. But Lynyrd Skynyrd came back with that retraction, Sweet Home Alabama. That's how that song
is that
came
what
about.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, even though nobody in Lynyrd Skynyrd's band, neither him nor anyone else, is from Alabama.
Okay.
So isn't that interesting? They're so identified with Alabama. Where are they from? I think they're from Florida. Right?
They're from Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Jacksonville,
Florida. I used to work down in the Jacksonville market, and they were, you know, they were icons down there.
So they basically have culturally appropriated the state of Alabama. But anyway, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. Juliet Huddy is in the house, and we are just now 24 hours away from me being under the knife.
How are you feeling?
Not good. You saw me slicing up another part of an oxycodone pill, hillbilly heroin, to ward off the pain so I can get through today and then tonight on the drive home at 5.
Emotionally, though, how are you feeling?
Oh, no, I'm looking forward to this. It's been 2 years of hell. It's been like Dante's Inferno in my stomach. And I've learned so many other people suffer from both colitis, ileitis, and what I now have, full-blown Crohn's disease.
So, most people haven't been shot 5 times in the stomach,
No, but they've described the pain.
Of course.
And the pain, and they suffer in silence, and oftentimes popping painkillers, which you want to eventually no longer have to use because they could end up consuming you.
Are you going to be on pain pills while afterwards?
I'll be on a morphine pump, which I've had before after I was shot. And, oh, yeah, sweet morphine, a hell of a lot better than oxycodone, hillbilly heroin. But it's what I have to do, and I'm more than prepared to go through it. But meantime, I am going on record as predicting that Jones will beat Judge Roy Moore tonight in Alabama.
Well, the Fox News poll is saying that he is going to be beaten by about 10 points, well, 50 to 40%.
It's not so much because of the polls, because they're obviously most polls indicate Moore is pulled slightly ahead.
Who showed up on horseback, by the way.
Right. I just believe that the Democrats are energized, younger people are energized, and that Republicans, many of them are confused. And they feel like many of them, they have to go home and take a shower, a hot shower. Because how do they vote for Judge Roy Moore, even though they don't want to see Doug Jones, a Democrat, liberal, progressive, get that U.S. Senate seat in Alabama?
But we're talking about folks in Alabama. So do you think their mentality is a little bit different from the rest of the country in terms of how they view this?
It is, but I still think in just the brief conversations I've had with some who are hardcore Republicans down there, they're very troubled. And when I tend to note in elections, whether from Alaska to Florida to California, when people are troubled, they don't come out to vote. The people who come out to vote are the ones that are energized. You know, like we saw with Bernie the Altacaca Sanders, all those young people voting for the first time.
Right.
Maybe even having been registered for quite a few years, never voted, but they were energized. And although Doug Jones, I'm not saying he's that kind of charismatic figure, but they seem to be energized. Whereas I think Republicans, a lot of them are not at all totally on board. They're
so you're saying forget the polls, forget what you know the pollsters and the temperature taking. The key group is going to be the ones who feel like, you know what, we got to take some action now.
And also the way this state is being viewed by the rest of us. You know, you can only be picked on for so long, made fun of for so long. And now that it's 2017... a lot of these old stereotypes that I'm certainly guilty of in charging people from the deep south with, they've sort of...
I'm glad you admit that.
Well, of course, but they've worn off. A lot of people no longer live those kind of lives, but there are segments of their population that do. And
there are still people that sit there and say, oh, you're a Yankee. I mean, what?
Yeah,
like, this is like 2018.
Oh, yeah, I support the New York Yankees. That's right. There's no doubt about that, but... let's go to the cuts of the person who has been campaigning more than Judge Roy Moore for the position, and that's his wife, Kayla Moore. She wanted to try to straighten out the misconceptions that her husband was both anti-Semitic and anti-black. So she addressed the anti-Semitic charge first.
Fake news would tell you that we don't care for Jews. One of our attorneys is a Jew.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
We have very close friends that are Jewish and rabbis, and we also fellowship with them.
Well, you see, if she hadn't said one of our attorneys is a Jew...
bless her heart.
The rest of that statement would have been very appropriate.
Probably, yeah.
And would have answered the critics. Because now, do you it's
think,
true.
But I, from what I understood, there are people who were down there. Now, granted, we can call them potentially the clickbait media, fake news, whatever you want to call them, that said she had a smirk on her face when she was saying this stuff. Now, do you think that she meant to say that kind of like a little dig?
I think it's everyone? The plastic surgery. That's why you had that sort of cat-like smile. But if she would have left out one of our attorneys as a Jew and say we have very close friends who are Jewish and rabbis, that's true. Evangelicals, too, because a lot of them believe in the state of Israel.
Right, right.
Because that's where rapture is going to take place, that last day in which you hand out the ammunition plates. And we know in Alabama, those ammunition plates are full of ammunition. Let's go to Kyla Moore talking about how her husband is not anti-black.
Fake news would also have you think that my husband doesn't support the black community. Yet my husband appointed the very first black marshal to the Alabama Supreme Court.
Okay. All right, so there you go.
That's a measured response.
That makes sense.
That is true. So you give him credit there, because if he truly were a racist, probably the likelihood is he would not have appointed the first black marshal to Alabama's state Supreme
That's very
Court.
True. So who do you think was laughing, though, in that first soundbite that you played about one of our attorneys is a Jew? Because it garnered some laughs out in the
crowd.
Was that media?
The crowd.
So did they get it? Did they get that was a very awkward and loaded thing to say?
She's not the first one to ever mention that, hey, I can't be anti-Semitic because my attorney is a Jew. You've had quite a few New Yorkers who've been charged with being anti-Semitic who use that same statement. But speaking of a black power figure in Alabama, it's not Cory Booker. It's not even to a degree Barack Obama. The black guy most associated with Alabama is the former NBA great Charles Barkley, now sports commentator and degenerate golfer and gambler with his friend, naturally from Michael Jordan from the Chicago Bulls.
At some point, we got to stop looking like idiots to the nation. At some point, I mean, listen, I love Alabama, but at some point, we got to draw a line in the sand. So we're not a bunch of damn idiots. And people are looking at us like they're actually thinking about voting for this guy.
Where was he doing? Where was this given?
In Alabama.
But where was he? He was obviously at
a Doug Jones rally.
There you go.
Now, Charles
Barkley.
And
when he was referring to Roy Moore.
I know. But
Doug
Charles
Jones.
Barkley, the last thing I remember about Charles Barkley is he's driving around somewhere in Arizona. I think after he had a golf outing with Michael Jordan. And he solicited a prostitute right on the street corner, drove her around the block. She was orally fixating him when the cops cold busted him. Not necessarily the guy that you want to be speaking out on behalf of Doug Jones, particularly in these sexually charged times.
He's speaking out on behalf of Alabama.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's what he's doing.
Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And then there was the Darth Vader of Republican politics, Bannon, speaking out.
What they want him for is that corporate tax cut. That's all they want him for. As soon as they get that tax cut, we watch what happens. There's a special place in hell.
That's a weird
one. Republicans who should know better.
He's playing off of the Ivanka line, who was talking about there's a special place in hell for pedophiles, which I find amazing because this was given. He just gave that at the rally last night for Roy Moore.
But he's suggesting that Mitch McConnell and his Kentucky bourbon are laying off of Judge Moore now because they really want him in the Senate just to pass the tax package. And then there'll be hell of a price to pay.
There'll be an investigation.
Which doesn't make any sense. And then, naturally, there's a special place in hell for Republicans like Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and everything else. Now, there are a lot of people who are in total agreement with that. Mark Levin constantly espouses that every night on his show from 6 to 9. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, how do you see this election playing out? The votes are being cast as we speak in Alabama. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let me go on record as predicting that Jones will win in a squeaker.
I think so, too.
Only because the Democrats, who are the minority, though, seem to be more excited in this race than many Republicans who are very divided.
They had a nice little scene set up last night at the rally for Roy Moore. It was a little constructed swamp with tarp and sticks and plastic alligators and everything.
By the way, I don't know if this was the wisest decision, but Judge Roy Moore, who has been in hiding for much of this campaign in the last few weeks, decided that he would submit to an interview with a 12-year-old.
So what do you think are the characteristics of a really, really good senator?
Following the Constitution, just adhering to principle and not going to get elected again and not trying to stay in office for 30 or 40 years and building an empire. You're there to serve the people.
So this young lady was trying to be a modern-day Juliet Huddy.
Well, she's junior high school.
And she was able to have a one-on-one interview with candidate Judge Roy Moore.
And she did a lovely job.
Yes,
the young lady did.
But I felt the optics were not appropriate to the charges
it
that have been leveled against Judge Moore.
When I saw that, I literally burst out laughing.
Yeah.
If I was drinking something, it would have been a spit take.
I would have said,
if
I were an advisor to Judge Roy Moore, I would have said, normally in a campaign, this is good. But this just reminds people that there are women out there who claim that you were perving on them almost at that age.
Well, we know who's running the show down there. Remember the woman, what's her name? Folger?
From
Janet?
Ohio. Yeah, Janet Folger from Ohio.
God, it's
She's
crazy
not
down.
Even from Alabama. It's incredible. He hasn't even put all of his eggs in a basket with an Alabamian to control his campaign. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's see if we can go to, I believe it's Joe, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC, Giuseppe.
Hey, Joe.
So now all of a sudden these women are coming forward, and it's just like, you know, if this doesn't work, let's throw something else against them. And if that doesn't work, let's come up with something else. And sooner or later, something's going to stick. That's my opinion.
Were you talking about Roy Moore, or who are you talking about? Because part of your comment.
Donald Trump.
Okay.
Right. Now, out of 17, they charge him at all different levels in types of sexual harassment. If one of them were proven to be correct, do you think that would be grounds for the president to have to step down?
I think it would be grounds for an investigation. I mean, look at what...
Let's just say the proof was overwhelming, and he said, that was an indiscretion. I made a mistake. I should never have grabbed her. Yes.
Curtis, I mean, look at the evidence against Bill Clinton. Did he resign?
No.
They had a semen-stained dress.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and he didn't resign. He went through the process.
Do you think times have changed? Do you think that we've rounded the curve, as I said a little bit earlier?
Well, I think you're talking about the presidency of the United States. I don't think anybody's just
look at the difference.
Throw their hands up and say, you know, I'm leaving.
Look at the difference, though.
That's true.
Look at the difference, Joe, because had President Clinton left office, it would have left the Oval Office to Al Gore, who later on was charged in perving a woman who was giving him a massage in Oregon at some kind of spa. She really got graphic about what a perv he was. In this case, it would be Pence. Probably a safer selection when it comes to perving because his wife is always with him.
Sometimes I wonder about that, though.
He cannot travel anywhere unless his wife is right there. 1-800-848-WABC.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
To the phones we go. Juliet Huddy in the house.
Fits in the tantrums.
It's
that right?
Dana from Huntington. Welcome to WABC. Dana.
Hey, Dana.
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Juliet. How are you? I've called in before. Curtis, Juliet, everybody, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Now, I got that out of the way. I'm a Trump supporter, okay? I'm not diehard. I'm not one of those ones that say everything he does is right. I'll be the first to tell you, I think his Twitter, all that stuff, he should stop. But how come no one says any of this stuff about Bill Clinton or any other president? I think it's...
Oh, God, I hear that all the time. I hear that all the time.
And I feel it's all politically motivated. The media is killing us. The media is half the problem with what's going on in this country.
I think you're right about that.
And I believe, you know, we instead of stopping that, we have a lot more things to focus on. This man is all he's done is expose the truth about our corrupt Washington.
All right, now, but Dana, just because he's the guy you like who can control the destiny of the country, does it mean you forgive him if, in fact, any of these cases are true?
Okay. I don't know that I'd forgive him if anything is true. No, I don't.
All right.
But at the same time, we do have due process, and the media, you know, they're painting this guy every little thing. They're putting up these women. It's really a distraction, and that's the part that I'm trying to say.
Well, it may be a distraction, but remember, we have a president who denies everything anytime he is accused or anyone criticizes him. The only time he has ever actually bent over and got down on his knee and apologized was after the Billy Bush tapes. It's the only time he's ever acknowledged that he did something wrong.
He is the king of not just doubling but tripling down.
And then remember, he was deciding to use a little revisionism, was going to try to float out there that was his fake voice, not him.
Yeah.
And Billy Bush shot that down on an interview. It was the real deal. Let's go to Frank in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Frankie.
How you doing, guys? I've been listening to you for quite a while, Curtis. I really like you and like your show. I just need to make a statement. On all of these accusations that have been going on, I was a police officer. I retired 30 years. I was a police officer. Most of my time was in the criminal investigation division.
Thank you.
I retired at a very high rank. But here's my question. With all of these accusations going on, if they have proof, I'm for them 1,000%. But without proof, if they wait 10, 20 years, how are you going to prove it? You're just going to go by word of mouth? Hypothetically speaking, Curtis, if a woman came, just say hypothetically, and 20 years ago, she says, Curtis Sleater, he raped me, brutally raped me, but I'm not going to say nothing because, you know what, 20 years ago, he's too powerful, he's head of the Guardian Angels, he's on radio, who's going to do anything? But I decide to come forward now. Are you supposed to step down because of that, Curtis?
No.
No.
No, if it wasn't true, obviously I wouldn't.
Well, I'm just saying there's many accusations.
Right, but
forward.
Now, Frank, let's assume there was that one allegation that went public, that I had raped somebody 20 years before. I said no. She said yes. Okay, but there's no proof. And then woman number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 came out with similar accusations with no connection to this woman. Then my credibility is shot. Frank,
well,
it's shot.
I think in some people's minds, though, it isn't shot because I think some people really literally need to see the proof. It's not collaboration isn't proof to them.
I could see one or two people coming up and maybe embellishing on a story or making up a story because they have it in for you. You know, something happened. It didn't go right. But when it reaches these astronomical numbers like it has with Franken, Kanye's, Judge Moore, the president of the United States, Donald Trump. Then you begin to say, are all these women making it up? Are they all just in some kind of a cabal? And naturally, supporters on both sides of the aisle want to make it seem like it's a conspiracy of the right or a conspiracy of the left.
Yeah, it's the left-wing conspiracy. Yeah,
but
exactly.
These are guys. This is what guys do. They perv women and have done historically. And this is sort of a defining moment in our history, in humanity, where we're basically in the United States, we're drawing the line. They don't do this in Europe. They don't do this anywhere else in the world. They don't draw the line.
Or are they sort of more open-minded to certain types of behavior in Europe and certain countries in Europe?
No, they're pigs. They're boorish, and they get away with so much, and women don't really say anything about them. But America always leads. This is what we're proud of. We lead. The rest of the world follows. And in this, this iceberg is starting to melt down quickly. And look at all these men, wherever they are on the political spectrum, who are being targeted by women who are saying, almost like caterpillars. You know, how they've emerged in their cocoon for so many years.
Yes.
And they've come out like butterflies, and they're flying everywhere and saying, he's a perv, he's a perv. And you know something? In the corporate world, these people are dropping fast.
Mm-hmm.
When they're in public service, they tend to hang on.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77 WABC.
I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of life. Put my faith in the people.
239. The people never left me down, Rare Earth. No, only the politicians have, never the people.
And Nurse Ratched.
Oh, yeah, Nurse Ratched.
Don't leave her out.
Which, what a battle I had with her at Columbia Presbyterian last week at night as I was going through the preparation for my surgery tomorrow. And I've ordered the doctors. I don't want to see Nurse Ratched when I'm there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I will definitely just tear everything out that's attached to me. And just want to just flee that location.
She may need some security.
This is like Kathy Bates. This is like, oh, Madonna my.
Let's not start talking about her physical appearance.
Oh, she's brutal, okay, well, she's doing fudge. Okay. And there's nothing that can change that. But anyway, let's put that aside. Because as many of our radio listeners know, Juliette Huddy, for the last 2 years while broadcasting here, two separate shows, both the 12 to 3 and then 5 to 6, the drive home at 5, at time, I've been paralyzed in pain to the point where I have to go into the men's room here that has a shower and take a very hot shower just to get some relief, pop an oxycodone, hillbilly heroin, and I still continue to deteriorate, having lost 60 pounds in 2 years and not a pound that I wanted to lose. So it's not like, well, you know, this is good. You lost weight. What? You go from like 210 muscular down to like at a point 155, and I would look at myself in the mirror and say, oh my God, it looked like my grandfather did in his 90s, Fidelio Bianchino. And a lot of people are unaware of what these problems lead to. So colitis affects your colon. Ileitis on the other side of your stomach is your ileum. And then there's naturally full-blown Crohn's disease, which I have. Approximately 2 million Americans have some form of this disease going on in their stomach, and there's been a growth of about 200,000 since the last time there was a status report done, 2011. So I know it's increased because as I visited many doctors, specialists in this field, I've been in waiting rooms in which I see a lot of people my age, baby boomers, but I see a lot of hipsters and millennials, especially young men, with all sorts of colon disorders, if not colon cancer.
Really?
These kinds of problems. Oh, huh. Yeah. Increasing numbers of it. Mm. And there may be as many as 80,000 children in the United States with Crohn's disease, colitis, or ileitis. Now, they believe that some of it is genetic, some of it is environmental. They're not quite sure. But they've also said if you've been a meat eater, that's any animal flesh, including fish, it's the single most causative dietary factor.
What?
With colitis.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Colitis and ileitis, huh, and Crohn's disease. And most other what sort of encompass all of these diseases they call IBD, inflammatory bowel diseases.
Oof.
So the process that I undergo tomorrow is an extensive surgery in which they have to remove my ulcerated intestines,
oh, God,
which first were damaged when I was shot in the back of the cab on the orders of the Gottis to the Gambino hitman who shot me, Michael Iannotti, with 5 hollow point bullets, which shredded my lower intestines and left me having to wear a colonoscopy, a bag attached to my colon so
Iannotti.
I could relieve myself, and an intestinal bag in which I actually saw parts of the intestines repair themselves, which was amazing because I would have to clean it and maintain it.
Oh,
each
God,
day.
Really?
Yeah, and then I had reverse surgery that put everything back in. And boy, that was a horror. You know, you look forward to the first surgery when you're shot because you're just saying, my God, I'm going to die if I don't get this. When you get that second surgery, it's days, sometimes weeks. And the determining factor, if it's successful, if you release gas, you pass gas, a fart.
Oh, God, I hate that word.
No, it's true.
Oh, I just can use a different word.
So the doctor every day comes in. Have you released gas? Have you farted?
Okay.
And you're struggling. Yes. You know, you're squeezing the cheeks of your talkers. You're trying anything for weeks.
This is like my worst nightmare.
And if it doesn't, if you can't pass gas, they have to go back in. So you're desperately trying to, you figure, hey, maybe if I take prune juice, you know, do sit upside down, do yogi, whatever those things. Luckily for me, it came after about 8 days. And they said, oh, great, we don't have to go back in. But in the meantime, the damage done by the hollow point bullets had ulcerated the intestines. Mm-hmm. And eventually it led to colitis, which is paralyzing on your left side, and ileitis, which is paralyzing on your right side. And you feel like there's a full inferno going on in your stomach. Ugh. Your blood pressure goes up. You feel the heat. There are eruptions. You could be sitting next to me, and then all of a sudden, Juliet, you say, your stomach's grumbling. It's growling.
I've heard it.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally, I thought it was your phone or something doing some weird ring, but no. It's actually your stomach.
And it is loud. But the pain, and remember, I'm used to pain. I've dealt with pain compliance from the bullets, also from other damages that I've incurred in my body over the years from bat sticks, pipes, bricks, you name it. I will tell you, there has been nothing more horrific than this pain because it's endless. An attack could come for 3 hours, then 6 hours, then 12 hours. And the latest attacks have been 20 hours in length in which you can barely breathe and you can barely speak.
I see you struggling. I mean, it's hard to watch.
Well, you've seen me pounding the podium.
Yes, literally pounding it in just raging pain.
Just to be able to get up enough strength to be able to continue the broadcast. And I want to thank Justin B. Love. And yes, Brian Mangalucci, the only time I'll ever thank you guys because they've been very, very cooperative in helping me get through these broadcasts and the management here and other members here who have rescued me sometimes out of the men's stall when I couldn't get off the porcelain palace or out of that hot shower when I can barely move because it sort of loosened up all those lower intestinal areas. And so it was a struggle for 2 years. But it all ends tomorrow. And I know for some of you out there, you're hoping it ends permanently so you can send me deathbed lilies.
Terrible.
Yeah, well, guess what?
What's wrong with these people?
Others have tried that before. Knock yourself out. I'll wrestle with the Grim Reaper. I will return. And hopefully, I will be pain-free. Hopefully, I will no longer have to take the oxycodone, the hillbilly hell.
Have you actually talked to your doctors and said, what will my, you know, as far as pain goes compared to what you have right now,
yeah,
what you've had? Have they been able to tell you won't feel any pain or you'll get nauseous once in a while or you'll have, you know, sharp pain? I mean, what have they told you about what your life is going to be like?
Well, I've been nauseous for 2 straight years.
I know.
And at times I've had to vomit. Mm-hmm. On a regular basis, which is really debilitating, but have to because you got to purge this food that has been processed in your stomach and it has no way to be released. So you end up projectile vomiting and your entire body just goes into almost like not a death rattle, but into a spin out and you just have to stop everything you're doing. So they're being very measured because it's a very serious and complicated operation. And they're saying, look, best case scenario, you're in Columbia Presbyterian for a week and then you're back out.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case scenario, you're in a month or more. Either way, you'll have a colostomy bag, which I've lived with before after being shot. And you'll have a morphine pump to deal initially with the pain, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. Prefer that to oxycodone. And then we'll see what happens because they just don't know.
I have some good news for you, though.
Yes.
You're half Italian, right?
Yeah, half Bades on my mother's side, half Polish on my dad's
side. So there was a study done of Italians, a group of Italians. Now, granted, they were between the ages of 90 and 101, so you're good. I mean, you're definitely under that number. But they found out basically that positivity, stubbornness, and conscientious work ethic, you have basically 2 out of 3 of those things, those key things could be the key to a longer life. That is according to the study. So you have two. You are like stubbornness with a bullet and conscientiousness as far as work ethic goes with a bullet. Pardon the pun. The positivity thing, I'm not sure about that. I guess maybe positivity because you haven't fallen apart. You still are everybody's hero because you've been forcing your way through this pain, this misery for so long. So I guess we can say that do have 3 out of 3.
It would have helped if I had been Calabrese instead of Vades because the Calabrese are hard-headed.
Well,
they are hard-headed. They have a muscle between
both
ears.
You don't need hard-headed. You need a hard stomach, really.
Anyway, let's go to the phones. 1-800-848-WABC. Also in the interim, please go to the Curtis Lewa Facebook page at WABC. And look at the knife that the surgeons want to use to be able
to
extricate the ulcerated intestines. It's probably
the largest. You know what? If you bring that in, they may say, look,
the largest surgical knife I think that has ever existed. You must go to that page and weigh in on that. Let's go to Brenda, who I believe is calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Brenda.
Hey, Brenda.
Hi. Hi, Curtis. I just wanted to say good luck tomorrow. I know exactly what you're going through. My husband went through something similar. That unfortunately passed from it 11 years ago. He didn't get the surgery in time, and it's a test in birth, so good luck to you. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, so, sorry for your loss, Brenda, but at least there have been advances in the care so that they can diagnose it a lot earlier. There are remedies. I've tried them all. In this case, I got second, third, fourth, fifth opinions. I was eating foods that I couldn't pronounce from places I couldn't find on the map.
You've tried everything.
Holistic, homeopathic, chiropractic, reflexology, shiatsu, you name it. I tried it. And then naturally, it got bombarded with all kinds of medicines and shots that for some give relief, but for others, it leave them in the lurch. All of it left me in the lurch. So I didn't choose surgery as the first option. It was the very last option. The problem with Crohn's, and this is what's happened with others who've had initial surgery to give them relief, is that because they don't know how it originates, they don't know if it's genetic or environmental factors.
Is that right?
They don't know.
Huh.
Is that sometimes they'll go in and remove part of your intestines, and then 2 years later, it comes back.
What, your intestines come?
No. The actual Crohn's disease.
I was just saying, wait a second. I'd never heard of this before.
No.
Well, you never know. Some of the things come out of your mouth.
Right. And so what happens is they have to go in.
Did I really just say that?
And
the intestines come back?
Right.
What?
So they have to go in and operate again, and then sometimes years later again. And
you don't want that.
I've seen patients at Staten Island University Hospital when my dad was there many years ago. He was there for stomach surgery, but he had this kind of fungus because he had been in third world countries.
Lordy.
So it was a different kind of an operation. But he was in the ward where people had colitis, ileitis, other internal bowel disease problems, and Crohn's disease. And the poor guys that I saw that had Crohn's disease, mostly were Jews, but not limited to Jews because it's considered genetic for Jews.
Huh.
They had a series of operations over years, and you can see they dreaded thinking they'd have to go back in a few years and have more intestines taken out. Let's go to the phones quickly. Patrick in Brooklyn, welcome to WABC, Pat.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yes.
First-time listener, by the way, today. I'm really enjoying the show.
All right.
Well, very quickly, Patrick, I know you said your wife had dealt with Crohn's and has been in remission for 6 years. Well, let me just let you know out there to all those people who suffer with Crohn's, colitis, and ileitis, there are remedies. You don't have to suffer in silence. You don't have to live on painkillers as I have for 2 years. So maybe in this case I leave.
Godspeed, Curtis. Godspeed. We love you.
I will beat the Grim Reaper again.